Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. So, let's see a show of hands who has a cell phone. Even the six-year-old has a cell phone. No? Mom says no. He just borrows mom's. These little things are pretty ubiquitous. Just about everyone has one, and just about everyone seems to need one. Once you've had one, you have no idea how you lived without it. It's incredibly handy to have a cell phone, whether you are in town and want to make sure you've gotten everything you need before heading home, or if you have car trouble, you can just call a pickup. Or call a tow truck, rather. And the way cell phone technology has been improving, it sounds like the person is standing there right next to you. With a cell phone, it's pretty clear that someone has called you. But the same can't exactly be said about other means of communication. Semaphore, Morse code, smoke signals, not the Elma paper, or not the Wamigo paper, but actual smoke signals. Sometimes you just plain can't tell when someone is calling you. I think that's the difference that we see between Paul's call from God and our own call from God. When God called Paul, it was pretty clear exactly what was happening. We look in our first reading today from Acts chapter 9, and we see Paul is, here known as Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He goes to the chief priest looking for papers so that he can go and continue persecuting the way, the first name for the church, or Christians. When we take a step back a couple of chapters, we see that Saul, as he is known, has been a persecutor of the church for quite a while. He was present and approved of the killing of the first Christian martyr, who was the deacon Stephen. Following the martyrdom of Stephen, Saul continued to persecute the church in Jerusalem, and now here he is on his way to Damascus, just down the road, looking to extend the persecution to those who had fled Jerusalem to get away from Saul in the first place. So here Saul is on his way to Damascus to round up more Christians. And he is getting near to the city, and suddenly there's a blinding light from heaven, and he is surrounded by this light, and he hears the voice of God saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then he is just blind. He is led from where he is on the road to a friend's house, where he engages in intense fasting and prayer, waiting for a believer named Ananias to come to him and restore his sight. And come on, who wouldn't start fasting and praying if he was struck blind by God? Saul is healed by Ananias, and he then is baptized. And we need to note here the connection between Saul's coming to faith, his healing, and his baptism. The two are inextricably linked. And so the change in demeanor in Saul before and after is absolutely staggering. In fact, you could say that the old Saul died that day in his blindness. Full of misguided zealotry, Saul persecuted the God he claimed to love and killed the servants of the one he claimed to serve. And then you could say that the new Saul, Paul, was reborn that day and gained more than just sight physical sight from the experience. It was not until he was struck blind physically that Paul realized just how spiritually blind he really was. And it was only while he was waiting to regain his physical sight that he could finally see the spiritual truth of God. Wow! What an incredible story of God's power and mercy and grace at work in the life of one who formerly was a persecutor of the church. How often do we wish that we could say the same for ourselves? It's too often our come to Jesus moments just aren't too impressive, and so we are liable to discount the working of God, the calling of God in our own lives. Paul heard God speak to him directly. Who here can say the same? Paul learned that he would have to suffer for his faith in Jesus. In verse 16, God says, "I will show Paul how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Paul knew what was coming. Our calling does not involve something, the blinding light. Our call does not involve blindness, oftentimes, or at least not physical blindness. Our calling does not involve scales falling from our eyes. Oftentimes, unlike Paul, we assume that following Jesus will make life easier rather than harder. And yet, following Jesus is hard. Just as hard, maybe not as hard for us as for Paul, but still, nevertheless, it is not a pleasant road. Since our calling from God is so subtle, sometimes we don't want to listen to him or we ignore that call. And yet, nevertheless, we have been called by God. How? In our baptism and through our baptism. For many of us, our calling from God came when we were children. Perhaps before we were even old enough to form memories. Before we could remember, we were called by God and had God's name placed on us in the water of holy baptism. God speaks to us in the water and in his word, claiming us as his people and calling us to serve and love him. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, "We know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you." And those words that Paul wrote to the Thessalonican Christians are still true for you today. God has called you. This call is every bit as real for us today, every bit as real and as genuine as Paul's call was. St. Peter writes, Therefore, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. We are to live as people whom he has called as his own, because we have been chosen not by anything we do, but by God's grace alone. You have been called just as Paul was called, and God has called you for a purpose. The apostles, we look through the book of Acts, and the apostles were called by God and sent as missionaries to specific groups. Paul was sent as a missionary to the Gentiles specifically, and for his part, Peter, though he preached to the Gentiles as well, focused more of his efforts on the Jews. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul writes, "On the contrary, when they saw that I," meaning Paul, "had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. When James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. The apostles had their work cut out for them. The whole world was their calling. But that's not quite the same for us. What is our mission field? It's not the same as that of the apostles. It's not to go to everyone and the ends of the earth necessarily. Instead, our mission field is the people to whom God has sent us, the people in whom God places in our lives who need to hear his message. Our mission field isn't quite as glamorous as going to the Congo, but it's just as necessary to God's ultimate plan as Paul's mission field was. And our message remains the same as that of Paul and that of Peter and that of all the apostles. The message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The message that Jesus loved us so much that he came down and became a human like us. He loved us so much that he died on the cross to forgive us. The message that Jesus Christ rose from the dead to defeat death and give us eternal life. The message that God loves you. You have been called by God. In your baptism, God called you to be his child, to live as his child, and to forgive as his child. He calls you to speak his words of love and forgiveness to those around you who need to hear his message. Just as Paul was called and sent to people who needed to hear the message, you also are called and sent. Your call may not be as flashy as Paul's, and your ministry may not be as exciting as Paul's, but it is every bit as true as Paul's. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.